Well, hello and welcome to the Confused Breakfast. Do you remember the pure joy of a trip to the video rental store as a kid?
Oh, yeah.
It's hard to beat the ease of the modern era in streaming platforms where you don't even have to leave your couch, but there was something truly special about throwing on some guyliner and tight leather pants, heading to Blockbuster, picking out a movie by hand, and taking it home to watch. On this podcast, we revisit and dissect some of our favorite childhood movies from that magical era to see if they still move us the way they did as kids. My name is Mike Schulte, and I'm a businessman. And rule number one in this business is you go where the talent is. And all the fucking talent is with me in this room. Sean Pryor and AJ Vance, how the heck are you?
Sorry.
Very kind thing of you to say.
Sorry, everybody else who you were considering, but... There was no other consideration. Well,
the thing is, a lot of people ask me, they're like, hey, man, how do I get a successful podcast? I was like, get you some talent.
Yeah.
You got to get you some talent as I pour my beer awkwardly.
And I don't mean you talent because you don't have talent. You bring in people that have talent.
Oh, okay.
That's you guys.
Yeah. Gotcha.
That's what I meant by that.
Thanks, man.
You can't just get talent.
Stand up and shine.
Is that... That's how you do vibrato. If vibrato's just shaking.
Yeah. That's how I was taught in choir.
Everyone knows that.
Everyone knows that.
Well, my dudes, on today's episode, we discuss a movie that made us all want to join our favorite rock bands. A movie that reminds us all how great hair metal is.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
A movie that was brought up on trial in a previous episode. A mistrial ensued, so we left it up to our Patreon members to decide if we needed a full episode. They unanimously said yes.
Obviously.
We're, of course, talking about 2001's Rockstar.
Yeah, buddy.
Well, damn dang it. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for another nostalgic journey to the past with the Confused Breakfast. Sit back, relax, and enjoy wherever you are in the world. Take it away, boys.
Well, if you are new to this amazing podcast with amazing hosts, we're going to be reviewing this amazing movie, but we're going to do it scene by scene with a modern eye. But in order to do that properly, we must first discuss it with pure nostalgia. AJ, let's start with you. Tell us the first time you saw Rockstar and what your nostalgic rating is was.
First time seeing this, the one thing that really comes to mind is I've never wanted somebody to pierce my nipples for me.
Well, that's
up until seeing this movie.
Yeah.
Just Jennifer Aniston.
Yeah.
She's like a showstopper in this, and not just because she's gorgeous, but I think I love that her character throughout the entire movie, to be honest. Watching this movie though for the first time, it was like the fantasy that everyone wants to come true, especially when you're like younger. You just want to get discovered. And if you just keep doing your thing and don't care about anything else and don't try to do anything other than just be really good at singing, apparently.
Your thing.
Then people God, just pick you
that's
up.
That's where this episode's going to go.
Uh-oh. So, no, I do remember watching this like for the first time. And I think it was a DVD because I remember holding on to the case of it. And us putting it in, and I don't know who I watched it with. I really wish I could, but I was kind of enthralled with the movie. I thought it was awesome. I thought it was so much fun, and like getting to watch like, oh, this rock star lifestyle and how you, this must just be what it is. So I was a big fan of the movie, man. Back then, I would give it an 8.8.
Nice.
8.8? Yeah. Sean, or what about you, man?
On top of the trench coat trinity that was Blade, The Matrix, and The Crow, I was a sucker and a glutton for these types of movies where it was like the romantic lead was doing his dream and also had the girl to back him up and everything.
You follow your dreams, you get the girl.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. It's the only way. I loved all these movies. I had to have seen in 2002. I believe it was like on early pay-per-view. Like you had to buy it on TV to watch. Yeah. And so me and my mom did that. And loved it. Loved Mark Wahlberg in it. And I remember thinking the song that he had at the end was like, it truly made me emotional. Might have changed nowadays.
I hope
we
so.
We will see. Loved it. I'm with you, AJ. I am a 9 on this.
Heck Niner. Yeah. This is a little different for me because when I saw this, I was firmly entrenched in the indie band world. I was in my original band, and like hair metal was never really my thing. Like,
sure,
I can say that that has changed now. Later in life, I look back on hair metal like, yeah, this is fucking awesome,
super fun.
But then I was not a fan of it. I didn't like that big arena rock and roll. I didn't really like Mark Wahlberg all that much. But like the coolness of like, oh man, I could be on that big stage was sort of overshadowed by just like, eh, I just didn't really like the movie. So it's a big old blah for me originally. It's probably a 6.
Okay.
Just a eh, whatever, who cares?
Okay.
We do have an executive producer today, Michael Giuliano. He said, I had never heard of this movie, had no idea that it existed or any idea what it was about. In fact, when I went to look up Rockstar, the Rockstar in quotations movie to see if I knew which movie you guys were talking about, the first result that came up was a Bollywood movie from 2011.
Yep.
So either this movie is a really hidden gem or I just suck at Google. Nostalgically, this is a big NA for me. So wow. Michael likes doing this. He likes stepping up to be like, first time watch. Let's see what we
I
say.
Love that. Love it was that. Pulp Fiction a couple weeks ago.
Yes.
Which is a wild, crazy right? one.
He's like, yeah. I've never seen it.
I love to see that our executive producers, like us, sometimes we're like, oh, I haven't seen it.
Never seen it.
To discover it.
You
like
get
this.
Excited about that. Yeah. You know, it's that coveted thing that we talk about, mm-hmm. you know. Yeah.
So as a group, nostalgically, we are a 7.93, which is not too bad. If you're looking at all the movies we've done, that's going to find itself all alone at spot number 33. That is right below St. Elmo's Fire, right above Flight of the Navigator.
Okay.
Is just where that lands. And again, it just, yeah. no rhyme or reason. We really don't care. Yeah. The segment will eventually go. Someday I'll just skip over it.
In the
just
end.
In the, you know, hopefully we'll save some time. Yeah. But for now, we still do it.
Okay.
Yeah. But we're going to move on to modern day talk here. So we got to go to Sean. We got to learn all the important details of the movie. Sean, that's your job.
There's parts that we just don't give a shit about this show, but Sean's we really do.
No, that's why I'm like, so, let's move on. Let's get on to this. Jeez, who cares about nostalgia?
I wish I had them because they're gone. So I'll try and do them off the top of my head.
Okay.
Wait, for reals?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's
I mean,
fun.
I got all the producers and everything, but everything else is gone. Produced by Toby Jaffe, Robert Lawrence, and George Clooney. Written by John Stockwell. He also wrote Blue Crush and Cougar. And he was in Cougar in Top Gun, is what I'm trying to say.
Okay.
He was the Tom Cruise's
yep.
partner
at
in the beginning.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Music by Trevor Rabin. Also did Hot Rod, Kangaroo Jack, and movies that we have covered, Con Air, Armageddon, and Gone in 60 Seconds. Cinematography by Uli Steiger. He also did Singles, Better Off Dead, Godzilla, the one with Broderick, and Bowfinger.
You said Uli, the beaver picture?
All right.
Nice.
Check it.
Directed by Stephen Herrick. He also did Critters, Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, and The Mighty Ducks. Cast: Mark Wahlberg, Jennifer Aniston, Dominic West, Jason Bonham, Jeff Pilson, Zach Wilde, Timothy Spall, Dogmara Dominic.
Yep.
Dominic.
Got it.
Jason Fleming, Miles Kennedy, and Timothy Oliphant. So I believe that there was a bidding war on this movie, and Warner Brothers got it. And then George Clooney's production company, he had like a small indie production company, he wanted to also invest in this. And so he had worked with Wahlberg on Three Kings.
Yeah.
And so
got
Wahlberg into it.
Love that movie.
That
was
kind of
that was kind of his contribution, like his big contribution, other than a chunk of money to it as well. But it was Brad Pitt, actually.
Can you imagine? Because like I feel like
first
I can.
Cast. Yeah.
And I feel like I would like this.
At this time, 2001.
This fight, he's coming, Fight Club's been done right, now.
99 is yep. Fight Club. So yeah, he's... Yeah,
Legends
I don't
of
know.
The Fall. Long-haired Brad Pitt.
He could have... There's no doubt he could have done it.
Of course.
It would have been probably phenomenal.
It really doesn't take much.
There is a part of like some of this character that would be hard to buy into with it being
okay.
Brad Pitt, though. So
okay,
I'll just put that out there for now.
He dropped out due to creative differences, but like I said, George Clooney got on Mark Wahlberg, and here we are with Marky Mark. It's kind of loosely inspired by a thing that happened to...
Judas Priest.
Yeah, what's right? his name?
Rob Halford.
Rob Halford was being replaced in Judas Priest.
Here we go. It's Tim Ripper Owens. He was a he was even a tribute band for Judas Priest. And when Rob Halford was kind of taking some time off to do his own solo career, they asked Ripper to fill in his spot on their tours to like actually tour as Judas Priest. So it was like this, you know, inspiring to be Judas Priest kind of thing. And they actually got him to do it. So loosely inspired on that. But yeah, other than that, Mark Wahlberg, like I said, in our trial episode to defend this thing, he really got into the character. That's his real hair in the movie. Mm-hmm. He grew his hair out. He walked the LA boardwalk and just in LA, like the music scene, metal scene, and the cover band scene.
Oh man, it must be as, tough.
Go as to a bunch character. Of
concerts. I got to research this character. So I got to go
see some bands.
Is that Mark Wahlberg? I'm Chris Cole.
No.
Is he? You.
call me Crizzy.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, basically that's kind of it, to be honest. There's not much on this.
Well, it's I think we talked about this in the On Trial episode, that this movie came out September 9th, 2001.
Right.
September 7th. That sucks.
Yeah. it really got buried by something that happened, you
know, some big
a few
event
days later
took place and
yeah, released in 2001 September 7th. It was on a budget of 38 to 57 million.
Something like
what's wrong with these people
what
anymore?
What the hell?
Made 19.3, did not do very well. And then yeah, that's kind of it for this movie, guys. Sorry, my notes just got straight up deleted on this. So that's pretty much the gist. There's not much on this movie. Like literally, as our executive producer Michael Giuliano pointed out, I look up on YouTube to like kind of watch if people have done reviews on this or anything like that. And it is mostly that Bali movie.
Yeah. So.
Well, let's go on to AJ. Let's learn what the critics and fans have to say about this. Ratings, reviews. What do you got, brah?
Stand up and shout the tomato meter. Gross.
You got me. Damn
got
it.
Him.
Yeah. He's so excited to sing.
This is 53% splat. Ooh.
But what do the critics know? What do the critics know? That is tied with the Burbs. They don't know shit.
They don't know anything.
They don't know shit.
They don't know.
you're a splat. It was like someone just got slimed on Nickelodeon.
Ooh, Nickelodeon.
Ooh, that's the sore subject right now.
Sorry, everybody.
Big old yanks. That's all right. Drake Bill's still dropping his album at the same time.
We'll talk about it.
59% audience score. On their 6.3 IMDb rating.
That is tied with Waterworld in the bottom 20 of any movies we've done.
Oh,
that is
man.
Bottom 20.
Why does that work so well?
Yep,
well,
I like to pick the good ones, but it doesn't lie. 6.3 is what the fans also think of Waterworld.
Okay.
Kind of love that. I found in 2001, there's a reviewer. It's Quipsters. Vince Leo. He said that... the lion's share of the credit should go to screenwriter John Stockwell, whose attention to detail and knowing insights make for a film that has fun with the subject matter without making a mockery of it. Okay, so it has as good as it's not as good as Almost Famous, given similar subject matter, but Rockstar delivers entertainment with heart, especially for those who grew up in the 80s. So Vince Leo liked this.
Good job.
Let's see. We got some bad ones in here, guys. Michael Schlegel, Michael Schlute.
Hell yeah.
From the Baltimore Sun.
I don't know why we don't call him.
I just wanted to bring it back.
I love it.
I still, if I'm ever sad, I just watch the video of us in the hotel room laughing.
I told
about
Craig
that.
About it earlier, and I'm petitioning him to call you that.
Yep, Mike Schlute.
Mike Schlute. From the Baltimore Sun, 38 out of 100, 3.8 out of 10. Rockstar neither touches a raw nerve nor garners any resonance as a period piece. You'd be better off renting This Is Spinal Tap.
Oh.
Interesting.
Good stuff.
Interesting perspective.
Okay.
Let's see. The Miami Herald, Renee Rodriguez, 50 out of 100. Like the type of music it celebrates, Rockstar is just a lot of posing, adding up to very little.
Okay.
All right. Was there anything good from them? No, there really wasn't. But there was a lot. There was some good things happening here from the fans. 10 out of 10, the best movie ever in 2020.
Love it. Let's
said
hear it.
Andrew Zolino. I don't care who thinks what. It has vibe. It has amazing music. It has a story. It has soul. It's rock and roll, baby.
Hell yeah.
Great.
Power to you.
Wow.
Great.
I, We love it. Good job, dude.
I just wanted to go into our Discord, actually, the Little Lebowski Urban Achievers.
Yeah.
Let's give a shout out from Wes Clark. Wes, he said, the first time that I watched Rockstar was with my stepdad. He put it on, and I had no idea it even existed. He said he was blown away. Stand up and shout, baby. Definitely would say that this is a 7.6 out of 10. He's also excited to hear. He's excited to hear our takes on it with the musical backgrounds that.
That's his modern day. Is 7.6.
That's his modern.
That's
day.
That's a modern day wow. one right there. Good from job, Wes. Man. Yeah. So if you guys want to join the Little Lebowski Urban Achievers, get on it now. Somebody, this is save this. I saved this one for last. This will be the last one. I promise. 1 out of 10, pretty bad. Only for Marky Mark fans. Said Hot Toasty Rag. No? No? Okay. June 12th, 2017. Okay, let's be honest. The only reason anyone would sit through this movie is because she has a huge crush on Mark Wahlberg. That being said, I've sat through it. Rockstar is everything you'd expect in a movie about a, well, rock star. Wild performances, drugs, booze, blackout parties, sex, more sex, and Mark Wahlberg. I'm sure there are people who actively seek out these types of movies, but I just haven't met any. Unless you really, really adore him, you'd be better off skipping this one. Jennifer Aniston even regretted making it. And when a star badmouths her own movie, you know it's a bad sign. If you're like me, there's no use trying to talk sense into you. Okay. I've sat through so many terrible movies, all for the love of eye candy. I understand your plight. But I've given you fair warning for this one, because this one's pretty bad. Kitty warning. Obviously, you have control over your own children. However, due to graphic sex scenes, I wouldn't let my kids watch it. All right.
Good.
So,
it's Tipper Gore wrote
so,
that.
So, yeah. Hot Toasty Rag is giving a kids warning.
Okay. Yeah, gotcha.
Sounds good.
Gotcha.
Thanks. That's it, guys.
All right.
Guys, I'm looking out my window right now. It's spring. Grass is starting to turn green. It's been raining. It's time to start thinking about our lawns. LawnBright is our sponsor today, and you've heard me talk about them, and you hear how passionate I am about this. They've given me so much joy lately. I want to shout it to the rooftops. I'll explain why. As you know, I've talked about it. My lawn is terrible. I'm too busy. Now I got a kid in the mix. I can't keep up with it. So every single spring, I do what you guys do. I wander around Home Depot for hours. I watch YouTube videos, all trying to find out the secret to DIYing my lawn care. Eventually, of course, I give up. I run out of time, and then I end up paying hundreds to thousands of dollars for a local company to come treat my lawn. But what are they actually doing? Most of the time, they just show up, some weird guy, he looks hungover, and he drives over my downspout and breaks it and goes, yeah, I didn't do that. Here's where LawnBright comes in. LawnBright is a solution that takes the guesswork out of DIYing your lawn. LawnBright's custom lawn plan delivers everything you need for a healthy lawn all year long. Their plans start with a soil test. I sent mine in, they sent me the results back, and then they custom build that plan to deliver exactly what I need, because all lawns are not the same. We're talking soil conditioners, fertilizers, seed, weed control. We love that their products are natural too, no harsh chemicals, so that means that if your kids and pets are out there on the grass, you don't have to worry about it. The products are so easy to use. You hook them up to a hose, takes 15 minutes to spray on, and then you're done. The company even sends text reminders based on your weather so you apply at the right time. Because I'm using LawnBright this year, I don't have to spend any time on research. I get to save a ton of money. And the pure joy comes in this way. I get to answer my door to all these dudes. They show up. They're driving through the neighborhood. They go, this guy's grass sucks. They walk up. They're like, I'd like to sell you on my product. And I'm saying, no, thanks. I'm using LawnBright. Slam the door. You got to join us. Go to getlawnbright.com and use code CONFUSED for 20% off your first order. That is getlawnbright.com. Use code CONFUSED for 20% off. Trust us.
Well, boys, I wanted to read some of the best lyrics in rock and roll history. Please. To get us pumped up for the scene-by-scene discussion of Rockstar.
Yep.
Ready? Risk my soul, test my life for my bread. Spend my time lost in space. Am I dead? Oh, let the river flow through my calloused hands and take me from my own, the eyes of the damned. It makes my stomach churn, and it tears my flesh from bone. how it turns our dreams to stone, and we all die young. Here we go.
Blacked out.
Yeah. Sounds like a Bible verse. Let's do it. Scene number one. Chris Cole is a fanatical admirer of a heavy metal band called Steel Dragon. By day, Chris is a photocopier technician, and by night, he's the lead singer of a Steel Dragon tribute band called Blood Pollution. After band practice, they head to watch Steel Dragon play and have a fight with another rival tribute band. Soon after, Chris and his band put on a big concert that ends abruptly due to the band fighting on stage.
I read all the interviews, and I did everything. At that time, the music deserved it. The music that you didn't write.
The music, yeah. I thought it deserved it. Interesting intro or kind of introduction into this, right?
Where we're sort of being told right away that this we're looking back on this.
We're looking.
It's
back.
Like a VH1.
Yeah, it's like a behind the music behind or the whatever music. Kind of thing. Because he looks different. He's got short hair, and he's like giving an interview, and you're like, oh, okay, so. The first time you watch it, you don't know how it ended because it could have been anyway. It could have just been him later on in life. But it does set up the fact that this is in the 80s, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Which I don't think is touched on very much at all.
It does not feel like it whatsoever.
Zero.
Not at all. It feels literally like a 2001 movie. And like I thought that from when I first watched it to like when I did it to try and defend it.
Yes.
Mm. You know, it really misses the mark on that. Like, I don't know what the makeup would be as a filmmaker to like make it the 80s. Maybe just like go to the Roxy. Like, I don't know.
Maybe find some older vehicles to get in there, and they don't really even do that.
Not really.
The marquee that kind of like pans in, you know, even then it's like we still have that stuff, you know, the idea that they're playing below a porno theater, yep. Right?
Yeah.
It's a nice touch, but at the same time it's like, yeah, but... Not really. I mean, it's got to be at this point. We got to think it's like a late 80s thing in my mind. But I don't know. They don't really time frame it very much.
No. Did this movie predict or somehow was like a precursor to the tribute band revolution that has been like just completely overtaking the entire world?
We're not a cover band. We're a tribute band. These are my cables.
I don't know. I'm not in the revolution. I'm not in with any of that. I don't know.
No, because
like, are you asking that this movie?
I don't know. It just sort of predicted it. Like, because back when this came out, especially in the 80s, like, I don't really think there was like, I don't even know if like cover bands were really even a big deal, let alone a band. Tributing a lot. First of all, this is a fucking terrible business model. The Steel Dragon is the biggest band in the world. Did you see on the marquee when they go to that concert? They're playing three nights in a row. It says like 17th, 18th, 19th. Steel
Good
Dragon.
God.
So they're big enough to be playing three nights in a row in this town. That then there are two rival tribute bands in the same town that are trying to get people to go to the show of the band that the town just saw
right.
doing it for real. And they're like, but come see our show.
They just can't get enough.
I guess.
Pittsburgh, it's a decent size. It's a big city. And they're doing three nights. And he says, you're coming to our show in a week and a half?
Yes.
A week and a half.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't think back then that it was a huge deal. But nowadays, I think the number one most like type of band that's out there right now is tribute bands. Like, people have decided that becoming another artist and playing their catalog is the number one way to like be successful and make money in music. And it is to an extent. Us three right now could be like, we're going to start a Sublime tribute band. And we would instantly have gigs and people coming to it because there's that shtick of like, oh, Sublime. I love Sublime.
Yeah.
Where I think the cover band thing has gone away because the variety act has gone away because of this tribute model. Mm. And I don't know, like back when I watched this the first time, I'm like, tribute, what the fuck's a tribute band?
Well,
and now it's like everyone goes, wow, duh, tribute bands.
And that's the thing. I think we need to define it, right? Like, define cover band, define tribute band. Like what?
You want me to?
Yeah.
Yeah, cover is variety. Like cover is
a variety.
Multiple
act.
Playing whatever you want to play.
Okay.
And tribute is specifically you are acting like you're that band and you're only playing the songs from that band.
Okay.
Which is what Blood Pollution is
Blood
doing.
Blood Pollution
they're
is doing.
They're dressing just like them. They're trying to play the songs to the T.
Black Babylon.
Yes.
The other band.
Black Babylon. Is that the name of the other band?
Yeah, the other band is Black. Just don't want to make sure they don't get suckered into seeing some half-assed tribute. It's like, okay, we're battling. This is hilarious, though.
All of this is extremely funny.
That is very, very funny.
But it's not supposed to be funny.
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
No, I don't think
it is. Okay.
Them fighting themselves is like, internet, hey, okay. Internet gods, Mike, like, just give me like the Spider-Man meme, but it's them fighting each other in the parking lot. Like, it's like, that's what I need. That there's no way that that's not meant to be funny.
That is funny. Like them, the two guitar players, like being like, don't rip it.
Hey, get off my cape, man. Let go. I don't want this torn.
But I do think the tone of the movie is trying to make you be like, no. Like, no, they're following their dreams and they're trying to do good. And this other man's coming over here. Like,
I can't decide if I'm trying to put in that they're in on it or that it's actually they're taking it extremely seriously and that I just can't ever.
Sean, I can tell you this as a man that is in the cover band world. I can tell you that it's very hard for just a cover band by itself to be playing your entire life of like trying to do your own stuff and nobody cares. And then all of a sudden you play covers and you get on a stage where now people seem to care because they love these songs you're playing. It can very much go to your head. And I think from what I've seen, I think tribute acts are even worse because I think they legitimately start to feel like they are the fucking person that they're trying to pretend. And I think there's, and sorry to anybody out there that might be in a tribute band, but I think it starts to slowly cross a line that the cover bands have already kind of gone to the big ego world. I think tribute bands kind of go to the next level.
There is something to be said about being able to play it the same way. If like to be able to play a guitar riff the same way as a musician, like Zach Wilde, and be able to like play it the same way that he plays it. The musician insider thing is everybody's hands are different, right?
Yeah.
Drummer's hands
tones
are different.
Tone's in the hands,
you
know, right?
Tone is in the hands, like all this stuff. So there is something to be said about it, but when you're so focused on it, it is like this reality of like what Chris Cole is going through. It's like, you're taking this too seriously.
Yeah.
You don't know where Bobby Beers starts and you end, whatever it is. Like, there's a problem here. We want them to come in to listen to our originals.
Yeah, but this is a band problem. We've all been in bands before. These guys are not on the same page.
No.
And they've never had the conversation of what are we trying to do. They're advertising themselves as a Steel Dragon tribute band, but yet the rest of the band's like, we want to play our originals. And Chris is like, well, what the fuck are we doing then? Like, why are we in a tribute band? You know,
don't you write me a song about why in the hell I would want to ever do that?
We're not there yet.
I'm sorry.
Not yet. Stop it. But don't you agree, though? Like, Chris Cole's actually, they're doing this rehearsal, by the way, which is in the basement of a movie theater with zero soundproofing. So, like, I can't imagine watching a movie in the porn theater and hearing them rehearsing in the basement. But
is there still a dragon? God damn, I can't concentrate.
This movie was pretty dull until then. Damn, all right.
You just got a guy in the back of that theater. It's just like,
and he's like, oh, they finally got it right. They've been practicing for weeks.
Thank God they finished that up so I can finish.
You finally did the squeal enough.
Not the ping. No, that's a ping. No, raunchier.
But he's right. As a guy that's been in bands, all of us, like, Chris is the guy you want in your band, though. The guy that's like, no, do it, like, learn it better and play it better,
so,
like, right?
Okay, I kind of have to push back a little bit. Lives with his parents in a tribute band, wants to be a singer, wants to be the singer of his favorite band so hard he adopts his whole onstage persona. This is decidedly not metal whatsoever, okay? Like, I don't agree with this. Not as metal as the movie makes it out to be anyway. Like, you know, like, the movie is like, no, this is what you need to
do.
Look
how cool this is.
This is what you need to do is, like, I guess the movie kind of... takes itself back a little bit with that argument towards the end, being like, no, I needed to discover myself. I had to walk down a highway and hitchhike for a little bit, you know?
Like, my guitar and my gunny sack.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. Like, I don't know. This going your own way, there's someone who says it later, like, really well. Yeah. But it's like, this isn't the way. This is almost psychotic in a way. Like, even we'll get to it, but like the nipple piercing and everything is.
Bobby just did it, so got to do
no,
it.
No, you don't.
No, you don't.
No, I have to.
You are not yourself at all, man. Like, I don't know. I have issues with even Jennifer Aniston's character being with him because she's not with Chris.
No.
She's with Bobby Beers.
This movie just does not paint an accurate picture to anyone that's maybe thinking that, like, I would like to be a rock star. It does the opposite of, like, what you should fucking do. In fact, the fact that
that's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about.
Humanize the goons. The fact that
humanize the goons.
That they put these stupid tropes into play, right? Like, the fact that they teach us that, yes, of course, you can hear, if the singer's on stage, he can hear you singing in the crowd.
I remember this conversation.
Do not teach people this. I'm going to keep going on this as we go of the things that, like, this movie taught people the wrong things.
Who cares, man? They love it. Like, it's like, what are you doing here? Like, I really do think that there is a point where you've got to think about his bandmates. And yeah, we love playing Dragon Tunes, and we were trying to get people in the doors, though. They're setting up their stage, you know, for their set and everything. But regardless, there is a point where the first time you watch this, you're like, no, Chris, don't listen to him. You don't listen to those guys. I love you, man, but you're mental. Like, you gotta stop this. Like, this is not okay. Your friend is literally telling you, like, as a friend, I'm telling you that there's something wrong here, okay? And we need to rectify this.
Well, he says, you don't have any fantasies of your own. You sing somebody else's songs, cramp somebody else's style.
Yeah.
Timmy, like, Tim Oliphant says that to him. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's perfect. Like, even like with the tribute band fight outside of the concert, it's like that happens on the internet now.
Oh yeah.
You know? I've seen that happen locally.
Yes.
With bands who are just like, oh no, we're better. No, well, you do this because so that's bad.
Well, nobody flyers anymore anyway, so that's part of the problem.
Hey, stop inviting people to your Facebook event because we got our Facebook event the same night.
You can't come on our post and promote your show that we're promoting our show.
Yeah.
Did you see, but like, they do love each other. Like, they are. They do seem like a good camaraderie, this band of dudes. Like,
oh, yeah.
The act of them going to the show, which, by the way, they're driving a Wayne's World car.
Oh, yeah. No, that's a Mirthmobile for sure.
That's a Mirthmobile for sure.
100%. Like, that is a Mirthmobile.
And like, I do love that. I do like some of these outlying characters. Like, I think upon this rewatch, like, Izzy's the one I like the least amount in this entire movie.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like, even his parents, you know, we're getting a little home life scene. Like, did you recognize his mom from a movie that we've done?
She's been in so many things.
One particular role that stands out for me in this, her name's Beth Grant. She was fucking Helen in Speed, that bitch.
Helen.
Helen that's like, oh, Helen, I want to get off the bus. And she dies and gets run over by the bus.
Helen, you look like a Helen.
You look like a Helen.
She's great, and I love his dad in this movie, how supportive he is.
He's been in a bunch of movies we've done, too.
Michael Seamus Wiles.
He's is such a cool character, that just cool dad that's like, hey, man, like, that's my son, and like, I'm going to go check out his shows, and I'm going to support him. And he even, like, when the brother, by the way,
singer.
Glenn from the fucking Wedding Singer.
Oh, yeah, dude.
Perfect casting.
Well, it had to have been around the same time, right? Wedding Singer was...
Oh, geez.
Had to have been early 2000s.
That was a 2000 movie.
2000?
I think that was year 2000.
98, boys.
Oh, 98. Oh, wow. Holy cow.
So a little bit after. But that's... I mean, even when the brother's coming over and giving him shit, like, the dad's still like, love you, son. You know, like, like, kept being very supportive. And honestly, do you want to humanize the goons here?
I'm here to do it.
Can we start with the brother? Like, the brother's... Yeah, the brother's trying to, in a mean way, help out Chris here.
Right. Like, it's bro. Like, you need to get... He's the one who says, like, you don't have any fantasies of your own.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, and that was who said it, right?
And it's like, you need to, like, grow up. Because how old we have to assume, like, how old is Chris?
He's, we don't know.
Early 20s?
Early 20s. He's got to be, right?
You know, like, he should be, should, could, like, be out on his own, but he's not. You know, he's, and he's got kind of his copier job, copier repair job or whatever. So, yeah, his brother is literally trying to tell him, like, get off of this whole thing and start figuring out your life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, but he's just being a dick about it.
Yeah, yeah.
Doing it the wrong way.
Get him out of my room, Mom. I'm serious.
Mom!
No, you're right, though. I like that whole conversation where it's just like, yeah, you need to find yourself. This is a good starting point.
Yeah.
This is a perfect starting point. Like, you like metal music. You like Steel Dragon. Go out and find yourself through that. Don't be Bobby Beers.
You got some buddies that you seem to really get along with that are pretty good at writing music. Maybe you guys should do that.
Yeah. And then it's
super weird.
Yeah. I mean, on, like, at, towards the end, it reverts back to that.
I know.
It's, I don't know. I like, even to further this is like my room. She's like, my roommates went to see Wham. I was like, oh, George Michael is so lame. You're getting your nipple pierced because your idols got his nipple pierced.
I'm going to give it so much crap for that.
That's the fucking lamest shit I've ever heard in my life, dude.
Yeah. But that is the beauty of like, you, dude, this just happens in music. This happens in so many things where you just think whatever you like is the coolest fucking thing in the world. Like sports dudes making fun of, like, theater kids.
Yeah.
Like, you're both doing the same thing. You're both obsessing over something.
Yeah.
You're both fucking nerds.
Yes.
That's it. That's the end all be all is, like, just because you're into sports doesn't mean anything else other than you're a different type of nerd, bro.
It's like bike gangs, like, you know, in Sons of Anarchy stuff, being like, we're so tough, but we also have these outfits, and we have this little patch here, and if you don't have this patch, that means this.
We kick your ass.
And you have to wear this patch.
I got this pin during my pledge because I was doing a really good job at cleaning up the bathroom.
Yeah.
Oh, that was
pretty cool.
Yeah. I got this one. This is my 50th hit of heroin.
Nice.
The boys watched me do that.
This one's for the guy that I killed, but I didn't mean to kill him. But
you get a pin for that.
Yeah. No. Our outfits are so cool because we're in a band.
It's loving what you like. And sometimes we've all probably gone through that. When I was learning how to play the drums, I was obsessed with it.
Like,
to where that is all I did. And you can fall into those traps. If you just want this so bad, you can just. That's all you see.
That's what this show's about. I mean, we say it all the time. It's like loving what you love.
Yes.
Like, don't ever let anybody tell you that what you love is bad. You know, defend it to the death. But don't go so deep into it to where, you know, you become an internet troll and that's your whole personality.
Yes.
That's it.
Yeah. There's a point where it does become too much for, I don't know, like this whole instance of them getting in the fight and they're willing to. I know that they're rival tribute bands. Okay, I get that, but they all love the same thing.
Yeah,
deep down, they're fighting about loving the same thing and who loves it more. Almost in a sense,
which is the most ridiculous argument.
Yes. Yeah,
which is like anybody that comments on our thing, that's what's happening.
Yeah,
you know. Yeah, well, I love it more.
I love John Hughes more than you love John Hughes.
No, you don't. I love John Hughes more. Name three movies.
Name three Steel Dragon songs.
Oh, yeah. Well, if you love them so much. Can anybody, and that's another super funny moment. Can anybody honestly remember a time that Bobby Beers ever wore a jacket with red lapels? No, I can't, Chris. No, I can't. Oh, man. You are fucking nerds.
Yes.
That's it.
You're exactly right. But you're hiding behind the glam of, like, cool heavy
Tough guy
heavy metal.
Yeah.
That's why you bring up the point, AJ, of, like, I don't know if this movie's in on this being fucking ridiculous or not.
Yeah.
I really can't
I don't
tell.
Know, man.
And that's why I think it's okay, or okay in my mind. I justify it in my mind liking it enough.
Yeah.
Because either it is or it isn't. It's still really funny and fun.
You get into this concert that they put on.
Yeah.
And this is fucking, this is just ridiculous. The fact that they're not even a band, a popular band yet. They're just a tribute band. They have roadies.
Oh, yeah.
They have a little kid doing pyro. By the way, did you catch that? Kid's like putting, he's just like a teenager. He's like 14. And, like, this is a band that no one knows. They definitely do not have roadies. They don't have people setting up their show while people are coming in. Notice how they're, like, putting the cymbals on while the crowd's there.
Yeah, yeah, like, they're all rolling. It's like, there's this point of, like, let's get the vibe across. But there is a point of, like,
now we've all been to concerts.
You're
we know
crossing
how it works.
The line of, like, come on. the setup of this whole entire show, it's like a mini Steel Dragon set, like a stage set, because they have like the little staircase.
The Iron Workers made it for them.
We want to thank the guys giving us their place to have this concert. I think honestly, the most unrealistic thing of it is probably the how big the crowd is.
Yes,
as you mentioned before, there was already three nights of this at an arena.
Yes.
In Pittsburgh,
and the real band that's really
the real
good.
Band who's great,
who made the thing that you're watching.
Correct. And someone and all those people had to say, beyond the point of like, well, I know some of the guys in the band, so I'm gonna go and support them.
Yeah,
there was a lot more people than just that in that crowd.
Yes.
It's a lot of people who said, man, that Steel Dragon concert was so awesome.
Oh
dude, let's go see a lesser version of that like next week
outside.
And a half in a week and a half.
It's like seeing, you know, the Folgers coffee or Great Value coffee.
Yeah.
Saying, well, I already had that last week. They're out of that. So great value it is.
Yeah. I had that last week and they're gone now. So I'm going to go get my fix with this.
But like you mentioned, like the whole stage crew and setup and everything like that. I imagine it being like just volunteers who maybe like these guys. Like, I'm sure you've had people who's like, I'm down to help
can
out
help
whenever you need.
Out? But you also being a musician know that, yeah, like if somebody, if somebody's like, hey dude, like, I'd really like to come work for you for the next show, man. Can I set up your guitar and stuff for you? And you could be like, oh, that'd be really great. And then you realize this person knows nothing about setting up guitars. Sure. And so you're not going to let them do it because you're like, well, I'm just going to do it and I'm just going to set it up because you don't know what you're doing.
Plug that fucker back in.
Well, and then it's another thing. They literally are casually having a conversation on stage in front of walls of amps in the middle of a song. What are we teaching people here?
There's no solo after the first verse, after the chorus.
They're like quietly talking to them. Like, hey, man, what's up with that? Why'd you do that?
Hey, dude. Hey, why'd you do that? While he's, oh, well, I just didn't think it was that big of a deal. I just thought he was like, yeah.
Anyhow. So. and then he's like, that's not how the song goes. If you don't take it seriously, you don't deserve to play it. He's a bitch.
He's kind of a grump about this whole thing. It's like, dude, it's like right now, by the way, like you're the one causing this problem.
Yeah.
You are the one who could be the person who says after the show, because he did this, hey, now we're going to talk about this. Not right there on the stage. It was his fault, not the other guy.
He goes, don't ruin this concert.
Yeah.
And he then breaks his guitar amp with his mic stand,
which
ruins the concert.
You've already ruined your performance. Do not ruin mine.
Marshalls are pretty tough. It would have just maybe dinged it up a little bit. Like the structure of it would have just been like cracked a little bit. It would have still played. I mean,
it wouldn't have been, wouldn't have been that bad. And, you know, it wouldn't have sparked out like that. What the hell?
What the hell, man?
I don't know.
The next day, Chris goes to rehearsal, but he finds out he's been replaced by his arch rival. Chris then receives an unexpected phone call from Steel Dragon's founder and rhythm guitarist, Kirk Cuddy, and is offered an audition for the band. He flies to LA, meets the band, auditions, and is offered the gig. His name is changed to Izzy, and his first performance with the band is a huge success. Did you catch the names on the marquee?
Of the sex?
Of the porn?
Yes, I kept... Because they're there. It's the same movies for the first time.
Yeah,
too.
It's a slow. So the three names of the movies were All That Jizz, Das Booty, and My Favorite Rear. I just thought you'd want to know those. I made sure to pause it and write them down.
All that jizz. We now return to All That Jizz.
That's actually fucking fantastic.
Yes, it is. That was someone's job. Be like, dude, come up with some weird porn names and put them on the marquee.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then all right. There's also
that's a music movie, too, by the way.
And, you know, and this would obviously be Cockstar. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was also somebody's job to be able to get up there and put those letters up on the marquee.
While people are in town going, what the fuck? What's going on? Don't you need an A? No, I need an I.
I need an I. Yeah, we ran out of A's. So
no, this is what Timothy Oliphant's character says. He's like, wouldn't you rather fail as yourself than some Bobby Beers clone? Like, that's actually kind of profound. You know?
I don't know, Sean. Maybe you could write me a song about why in the hell I would ever want to do that.
It's the best line in the movie. Yeah. I laugh so fucking hard.
It's great.
But I think they are. This is where I'm confused, Sean, and this is where maybe you can help. I think they want you to like Chris a lot and to be like, yeah, the band just doesn't understand.
They don't get it.
They don't. But like, But I don't. I fucking hate him. Like, of course he's getting replaced at this practice. Like, they're making the right choice. They're saying the right things to him, like Sean just said, but he just doesn't get it. But the movie wants us to be like, yeah, do it, Chris. Well, let's go.
It's the refuse line. Rather be forgotten than remembered for giving in. You know, yep. Like that. I kind of take that strangely, maybe overly obsessed with that idea, I could admit about myself, to very true fruition for in my life. Like, I'd rather fail at doing what I am than, you know, succeed at doing something that I'm not, you know.
And there's also this, I kind of made mention of it last week, but there is a point where sometimes the best people, and they say, well, all the talent that was in this room just left the room or whatever. He might be the most talented person in that band. He might be very dedicated. But in the end, your top person or whoever this is could be the most toxic person in the room who's causing a lot of animosity if they're not careful about how they're, you know, putting themselves out there. And so if all he's doing is, you don't deserve to be here because you're not doing it my way, then you deserve to be replaced.
Yeah.
You're completely inflexible. You have no, like, there's no give. You don't want to write music with us. We all want to write music. We're all on the same page. We want to write music. You don't want to do this. Mm-hmm. But all you care about is playing Dragon's tunes. And it's like, how long are we going to keep this up then?
Right. It's only so long that the band's only going to last. What we're getting, sucking at the teat at, is only going to be fruitful for so many years.
Correct.
You know, they're going to dry up, you know? So what are we going to do next? Like, let's do our own fucking thing.
For people that are not in bands, there's two really important factors when trying to find bandmates. One, skill level of like how good they are, and two, hang.
Yep. Yeah.
Like how good the hang is. And
he
sucks. 9 times out of 10, the hang is the most important thing.
It's way more important.
Like, we can work with you on the talent thing.
Yeah, we can.
You can fail your way through this and we will help you. But if you're cool as shit to hang out with, that's all that matters.
I am the least talented member in my band, and like, I'm a good hang, and I can offer other qualities. And the thing is that Chris clearly is talented. Like,
yeah,
holy
very
shit.
Much so.
And that's why he was in this band in the first place. But they broke that cardinal rule of also the hang is so important.
Yep.
And they're realizing this.
And it seems like whenever it's outside of, we saw that when they went to the concert, outside of anything really with the band, they were great friends.
Yes,
true.
But then the moment that you got back into that, you know, onto the stage or into the practice room, it was not. It was not good.
You make our good time, our working towards a good time, because the work is everything leading up to the show.
Yeah.
When you're in a band, pretty much, you know, you're making that a bad time. And so,
and that's the majority of the time.
Yes.
Right.
You very rarely are on stage. It's all the other stuff instead.
It's the unfortunate, like, the replacement thing that happens in this moment too. Isn't that the lead singer?
Steven Jenkins, Third Eye Blind.
Third Eye Blind. Yeah,
and I love him so much.
Wait, where?
So the replacement, the rival singer of the tribute bands, the one that replaces him, that's Steven Jenkins from Third Eye Blind.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
One of my favorite dudes of all time. Like, he plays that so well.
Damn.
He does such, I thought
he was an actor. Yeah.
Nope.
I think he does such a good job. He reminds me, honestly, he reminds me of Trey Parker in, like, basketball to some degree. Like, I'm just looking at him. I'm like, Trey Parker, like, anybody, anybody? And I'm looking around an empty room. I'm like, I'll just live this by myself. And so, but it's like, you see this? He brought a new PA with him. And this is a new mixing board. So he's bringing other qualities. It's like, have you heard the voice he brought with him? It's exactly what you just said.
Yes.
Like, it's like,
doesn't matter.
It's like, it doesn't matter because as long as we can, like, move forward and do what we want to do collectively, it doesn't matter. That's fine, guys. I'll get you guys some more cables. Does this guy work at a guitar center?
He definitely does.
He works at a guitar center.
He definitely does.
It's fine, guys. I'll just get some when I go to work next time at Guitar Center.
I'll talk to my manager Robbie.
Yeah.
He'll just give me some.
My Sweetwater rep is going to hook me up with that. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Don't worry, guys. It'll be fine because I'll just let him see if he wants to sponsor our next gig.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We do need to mention all the unbelievable famous musicians that are in this.
Please and thank you.
So first of all, when he arrives for the the audition, there's a person leaving the booth.
Yeah, I thought that's who you were talking about.
No, no, no. So that is the singer for Steel Panther in real life, the one leaving the booth. The musicians in Steel Dragon themselves, Jason Bonham is the drummer, the son of John Bonham. Jeff Pilson is the bass player. He's the bassist for Dokken. And then obviously Zach Wilde, the guitar for so many projects. The musicians in Blood Pollution, Chris's original band. Blaze Elias is the drummer for Slaughter. Brian Vander Ark is the singer for the Verve Pipe.
Oh, yeah.
He plays bass, which bass we'll get player. To later. We'll get to that later. Nick Cannonese is the guitarist for Black Label Society. And then Stephen Jenkins is the singer for Third Eye Blind.
Yes.
He's the replacement for that. So, like, just an and I love that they made those choices. Give me real musicians.
That's one of the best choices they did. Yeah, I mean, like, even to, I guess, bring it back to the trial is like they did do their due diligence on this and be like, okay, so here's the story. Is it even a little bit accurate? And so for them to be in the movie, it's
the most important part. We need the musicians to look good on stage.
That's another point.
Yes.
Yeah.
You need them to be like musicians on stage because musicians know how to be on a stage.
We can't teach an actor how to be a musician, but we can teach a musician how to say a couple lines.
Same thing as the martial arts.
Arts, yes.
That's the way it was.
Yes, we say it all the time, too. Like, we hate when we see, like, movie scenes with bands on stage, and they're just not, it's definitely not hitting a crash at that point.
Shit's not plugged in. Yeah. They aren't even putting their hands in the right place. It's one of those niche things that if you're a musician, but your eyes are drawn to it immediately.
Yeah. Or even if you just know how music is played, generally, you go to a lot of, you know, smart people out there will know, just like it's that much more immersive if they have these people in there.
This is actually one of my favorite scenes in the movie is when he's doing the rehearsal
The audition. Yeah.
I love it so much. And of course you're going to, just right before that, who is this? It's Kirk Cuddy. Hang up. There's no way you're going to buy that.
He gets that phone call once a week.
Yeah.
From somebody being like, it's Kirk Cuddy.
Probably from Third Eye Blind Guy.
Probably, yeah. He definitely does.
Can we just think, like, sit and think? I mean, we've talked about prank phone calls before, but like it's the same thing. It's like, hey, let's call up Chris Cole again.
Oh, we should. Dude, his mom will probably answer first.
Oh, my God. It's so funny every time they fucking answer. Hey, oh. This is Cuddy.
No, it's not.
Shut up.
It is a wild. Like he gets the phone call. They get on the flight.
They meet up with Tanya. Hello, I'm the cryptic, overly sexual liaison. Welcome into your new life.
Yes.
That's that cliche. Yes. You know.
There's a ticket waiting for you. Make sure you tell no one about this. Okay. Oh yeah. No problem. Good lad. Do-do-do. You're not going to believe this, Em.
You're coming with me.
Yeah. Oh, we traded in the first class ticket for two. It's like, how resourceful. It's like, well, I guess, I mean, I thought so, yeah.
Listen, if I got called up right now to go rehearse for Deftones and be like a replacement drummer, and there was a first class ticket waiting for me, I'd be like, Molly, I'll be back. Yeah. Like, I'm going to do this, and you're not coming with me. You're not coming with me.
But I'm your manager. No, you're not.
You're my piercer / manager.
Yeah. you're my nipple piercer. All right.
I'll tell you what, though. The one thing about, I don't know how I feel about Mark Wahlberg sometimes. Like, it's a very hard thing for me to, sometimes I'm just like, God, I love you. And sometimes I'm like, fuck.
Yeah.
But in this movie, I think they made a really good choice because I truthfully believe that he is singing these songs.
Yeah.
I thought he was, honestly, up until I, you know, finally did the research on it.
My fiance was like, is that him singing?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a good casting, too, because he's, obviously, we've known him to be in a band.
Yes.
You know? Yeah.
And he just looks, he did the work to know these songs inside and out. When he's in the booth singing, you're like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's him, right? Like, is he singing?
You buy it just about every single time he's doing any sort of a performance. He did the research. He was going up and down, you know, the LA boulevards and the venues, and he was hanging out with you know, he knew some of these musicians, and that was part of his research. And he looks like a front man.
Yeah.
You know, he looks like a front man for a metal band. Like, I think he does a good job being that guy.
Even just like the banter on stage too, where it's, some of it's pretty lame, but like even like, I love you too. And then he gets right back to like his spiel about like what the song is about or some shit, you know? It's very convincing. I do like it.
Yeah. I just think like when we get to see him in that audition and really see him tossed into the mix, right? Of he's around now all the guys that he's revered for so long, even walking up into it, all the memorabilia. It looks like the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in there, like a Hard Rock Cafe. You know, a good one.
Ooh, a subtle dig at
that.
I've been to some of your shoddy ones. You know, I'm never going.
Hard Rock Casino Branson.
Branson?
Yeah. Every time we finish an episode, he just goes off.
You let me down, Hard Rock Branson.
People always ask what happens after the episode ends. It's AJ.
It's mostly me ranting about Hard Rock Cafes and Hollywood Cafe or whatever. No, but like they're going through this and they're still like in this like starstruck mode. Mm-hmm. And then they finally get in there and
there's your idols.
There they are, and you immediately have to like perform for them, especially after that whole thing that goes around.
Yep.
You guys are kicking me out of the band.
It's the same thing that he just did.
Yeah.
Like he just was the fucking weirdo quitting the band and keeping his stuff.
Yeah.
And then now he witnesses it happening to someone else.
Are they kicking him out because he's gay?
I don't know.
No,
it seems to be the only reason.
No, because I think they knew it. They're like, we don't give a fuck. Like they're kind of like, we don't care about that. And he even talks about the lyrics. Do you think the lyrics were about a woman?
Yeah.
I think there must have been some creative differences or something, or he was mad about something.
I feel like there was something.
Because they're like, don't come near me, you know, that kind of shit.
Yeah, it just seemed like they knew about it, though, didn't they?
It seemed like it was like this fed up thing, and they're going to kind of take their digs at him now at this point.
Mm. You don't not know the sexuality of your band members.
Yeah,
I guess.
Especially when you're on a tour. Like that. You're gonna figure it out one way or the other. It's like, there's a lot of guys going into Bobby's room. Huh, he must be having like a fun like powwow thing.
Maybe they're doing a podcast.
Yeah, maybe they're podcasting in there.
Singing some songs.
Yeah, I mean, four guys in a room, you know, just closed doors, locked doors.
That's what we're doing right now.
You're kind of up the lighting a little bit.
It's very loud in there.
Man, wow, they're laughing a lot. That's all we're doing in here. But I don't think that's it. I feel like they made mention of it, basically his he was like falling off the train, basically, is what it is. And he gives that very real, like, well, you think it's just all sex, drugs, and rock and roll. Well, you got the sex wrong, didn't you? He's like, drugs, I never touch them. He's like, and he's in bed, like by 11 o'clock. Nobody does a performance like me, like not even at your age. Like,
people do not realize that.
Yeah. You're right. They were all into that. He wasn't. That's probably why he's gone.
Yeah. So there's, like you say, there's just this difference that's happening. And It wouldn't that be like a shock and awe thing though? Like that is the guy that you've been emulating.
Not even Steel Dragon. He's not even real. Like to see the guy you want to be, he's not even a real guy.
He's not even a real guy.
He's got a wig on.
Yeah, he pulls that wig off, and that is the idea of the stripping of the persona.
That should have been the moment where Chris was like, "Okay, wait, I've been going about this wrong."
But instead,
he's like, "No, I'll step in that booth."
Yeah.
And don't you think if you're the biggest band in the world, that you're going to need more than 30 seconds from a singer to determine if they're the new member?
Oh, no, dude. I saw the tape that those the two girls I've been banging, they just brought that tape in.
They just
in.
Want to make sure that you could actually do
and,
it.
And, yeah, they were just wanted to see it. Like, I watched a lot of that tape before they got in the fight.
Yeah.
So,
cool.
Or, like you said, like maybe go to the bar and hang out.
Maybe get a hang.
Yeah.
Maybe just get a little hang, dude.
Yeah, because I think that's like the checklist, right? It's like, can he do it? All right, he can do it.
Is it cool?
Check one. All right, now we have to do step two. That is, we have to go hang out at a bar for like 2 hours.
Ooh, I got an idea
too. See if we can tolerate
you. Hey, while we're hanging out with him, let's say the hangout goes good.
Yeah.
Let's bring him up to speed on how this band works as a hierarchy.
Oh, okay.
And so that he understands that he's just a hired gun.
Right.
Because we write the.
It's like So I hope you know when you join this band, it's like there's not going to be any of your lyrics are not going in this. We don't care what you have to say. Like literally what you've been doing.
I just want to make sure.
What you've been doing in your tribute band is exactly what you're going to be doing. doing in this band.
Just want you to know.
So if you ever get any other ideas about that,
yeah.
Don't.
So okay.
Don't have them.
So I hope you don't lose like the I hope you don't lose the heart in what you were doing, because that's all we're doing here. And Bobby Beers is just a character, as you just saw.
Yep.
Okay.
We good?
We good with that? All right, great, man. Then right, cool. Come on tour with us.
Nope. All right. They're like, want to do it? Yeah. News conference.
Also,
yeah.
Also, like, I like the subtle thing of their manager. What's his name, by the
Matt.
Way? Matt. He, wonderful actor, by the way.
Yeah, Timothy Spall. Yeah.
He's one of my favorites.
Yeah. Father of Rafe Spall.
Oh, is that his,
wow.
Is that his
yeah,
father?
Yeah,
okay.
That's his dad.
No shit. Okay.
First film he's been in that we've done. And okay. He's one of my favorites.
Just crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So good. I love the subtle thing. He like slides over the whiskey to
you're gonna need this.
Jennifer Aniston, where it's like just sliding the potion or like the elixir of like, you know, hey, this is rock and roll.
The
this
elixir
rock
of rock
and roll
man.
In a glass. Like this is your life's gonna change if you drink any of this. And Izzy is going to drink some of this and you're not. It's kind of a
because she doesn't take a drink,
thing.
Does she?
No,
she doesn't take a
she
drink.
She looks
at point.
It and looks back up at him, you know.
She's very focused on Chris and doing that thing, and they do. They have that moment. He looks back through and it's like the support of her.
Kiss my life. For my bread.
It's breath. It's
no,
breath.
It says bread.
It's breath.
It says bread.
There's no way it's bread.
Okay, ready? What's
no
the name of that song?
Bread. I don't fucking know.
Test my life. song lyrics.
You don't listen to him every single no, day like Mike does?
Gucci Mane. That's a Gucci Mane song.
Oh, my hold on. Breath. The closed caption said breath when I was watching it. Maybe that was the standard definition that you watched.
We all die young. Okay, ready? We all die young. I pulled this off online.
Look, honestly, I dig the song, all right?
No, you
it's
don't.
Not bad.
I'm sorry.
It's not
I do
bad.
Like it.
No, you don't.
I got goosebumps. So okay. I got
you ready?
Pimples.
Okay. We All Die Young by Milzelenko Zmatlizis.
Yeah.
Is the one that wrote this. It says, risk my soul, test my life for my bread.
No,
it's
breath. On I'll take a screen cap of this.
Even okay, Steel Dragon. We all die young.
Yeah.
Risk my soul, test my life for my bread.
Yep. Well, they're still wrong. I'm going by the movie.
None of that's right. that's my own little tribute.
Gotta, you
to
know
that.
What? Got to get that bread.
Yeah,
that
that's
money.
What I'm saying.
Oh yeah, yeah.
In the press conference, like, can you actually hit all the notes that Bobby Beers can?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, stand up and shout. I love the pan of like everybody, and it's just like okay, and like I want to
like okay,
okay.
Everyone there, right. Everyone there is like in the actual press conference is like, are we really doing that? Like he doesn't. There's no extra stuff on that microphone. There's always a little bit of reverb, yes. Some slap, the vocal slap back. There's something that's being fed into that line.
You don't want to do that.
You're doing that into a very, very cheap, like, reporter's microphone.
Yep.
And that thing is just crackling the hell out. It's breaking, it's peaking, all that. The whole pan shot, though, of all his old bandmates and all those people, and then, like, the one guy. But then you do see, and this is one another thing that I actually really like, is you get Timothy Oliphant. And he gets that little smirk on his face mm-hmm. because he knows, he kind of knows, he's like, you know what? That's where he belongs.
Yeah.
He knows how talented his friend is. And it's like, it wasn't going to work here, but you know what? That's where you belong. And it's like, you deserve what you get, good or bad,
mm-hmm.
in my mind.
I agree know. With you.
I agree with you, but I'm also like, yeah. It's kind of cheesy.
The
like,
smirk?
That, it's too soon. Maybe in like a couple years you can get over this and go, yeah, you know, that was pretty cool.
Well, he never had a problem with him. It's just like...
I had a problem with you just being Bobby Beers
yeah.
in our band.
yeah, that's it.
I'm telling you, this movie just makes me think about whiskey. I'm the kind of guy, that what do they call it, state-dependent learning, where you have to kind of do the things you do in the normal same state of mind that you're in. My state of mind when I play music is to just be about one whiskey deep, you know, that taking the edge off, warming the body up, losing some of those anxieties and scared tendencies before you walk on stage. That is what I think of. And when I think of whiskey, I obviously think of Cedar Ridge Whiskey, the best in the entire world. A little shameless promotion. Pork Tornado is my band, just filmed three songs. We recorded three songs and made videos to it inside of a barrel shed at Cedar Ridge. And we got to drink the delicious whiskey ourselves. I went with just the regular flagship bourbon. That is my jam. I love that just on the rocks, but I also love that making cocktails. I had him making me an old fashioned before we went in the session. Mason really loves the Slipknot though. He likes that blend of rye and bourbon, bottle number 9 that Slipknot hand curated. And the other fellas, they were drinking the American Quintessential. I mean, you cannot go wrong with that single malt. Everything Cedar Ridge Whiskey makes is incredible. They're taking the world by storm, winning crazy amounts of awards. We think you need to either try to get your local distributor to get some for you, or you got to go online to CedarRidgeDistillery.com, order some straight to your door. You will not be disappointed. Please drink it responsibly and understand that this is the best whiskey in the world and you're going to love it.
Scene 3. So after the gig, Izzy and his girlfriend Emily begin to experience the wildness of the rock star life. The tour begins and it takes a toll on Emily, where she eventually leaves Chris to move to Seattle. The tour continues, and when it arrives in Seattle, Emily is disappointed to see that Izzy is wasted and cheating on her.
Okay, so one more thing about the press conference. Why is he going in and out of his accent?
He keeps forgetting it.
But then
it's like he's not good.
But then he never does an accent the rest of the movie.
Yeah, it's never addressed like in any press things or anything they do. Like sometimes he goes in and out of it on stage even. That tripped me the fuck up.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
How about we just be like, yeah, Izzy's from America.
Yeah. Yeah. Why did we have to find him from like England? By the way, Jeff Pilson throughout the entire movie doesn't have an English accent.
No.
Zach Wilde doesn't have an English accent.
We don't care.
We don't care that they don't have English accents. Why did it have to be a thing that Izzy has to have an English accent? Yeah, it's like Izzy's revenge. It's like, no, just stop.
I ate a lot of pussy.
It's because we needed that.
I ate a lot of pussy.
I ate a lot of pussy. The same kind of scene that he has in Boogie Nights of him pumping himself up.
That's all I do, man. Morning, noon, did not, and did. It's like, I see y'all pussy.
Get in here and do it or shut the fuck up.
I know. It's such a great moment between the two of them.
Can we talk about this this club scene?
Yeah.
Like, sure.
Listen, you know, like.
Private party, but everyone's involved.
Well, they do the concert and he falls and
go ahead.
Whatever. Cool. All right. Whatever. So, anyway, Stranglehold obviously is one of my faves.
Love
you know,
that
like
song.
When you get that in a movie, you're like, And I'm like, oh yeah, this is gonna be fucking cool. This is 5 minutes. This is 5 minutes of Mark Wahlberg giving us the worst on-screen kisses I've ever seen in my life. I can't.
I was like, because his parents are there. I was waiting for his like mom to be behind him, and like he turns around, like, what's up, mama?
It's like, oh
Jesus.
I just,
well, you know, rock and roll, man. Whatever.
Yeah. I fucking hate this scene. I was so bored. There was nothing cool about this scene at all. Of just them like making out and just everyone in the room wants to fuck you. It's like,
yeah,
like, it just was like, it just bored the fuck out of me.
It's
and he's a disgusting kisser on screen. Like it's so gross.
Yeah. I think you could be right about that. The big thing is the tossed into the star life, you know, like we were there for a second, but now we're really into it. And like after your first show blows the roof off. Right. And but that fall, it's pretty funny.
Yeah.
Very funny.
I just got to make mention. The fall is hilarious.
Like he got out that gaffe. So nothing else can go wrong.
Yeah,
exactly.
Once you get one thing out of the way, you're fine for the rest of life.
Again, you've got Matt's who's there. He's like, you're okay. All right. He's just like, I haven't lost a man yet. Like that kind of thing, right? He's kind of taking
the roadies are going to run out and tell him,
Yeah, I know. He kind of has that moment.
Nope.
And
I haven't lost a man yet.
It's this thing about Matt's that you don't know if he's like whose side he's on. You know what I mean? But in the end, I think he is really on Chris's side.
You figure it out.
Yeah. You kind of figure out he really is kind of looking out for him. He is trying to give him the space he needs to be able to do what he needs. Like he fell, but don't help him up because we don't want to pull this out. They do the great musician thing, which again, musicians on stage, hey, run it back, kind of start into the chorus, you know, let's do that. That whole thing is great. A great moment. I got to piss before I go on stage. I love all this, honestly, this anxiety before the first big set and first big show.
You get that shot of him riding up the elevator to like turning around to a giant crowd, that Warner kind of thing. Like we get to experience that with him.
You see that in, you know, that's the thing that happens. I think people, there's a moment that happens for people when they are going to go do a performance and they're about to when he gets onto that elevator and as he starts to rise up, you can kind of see that scaredness drop away from him. And yeah. then you see his face and he's like that kind of thing.
I'm
okay,
in it now.
Now I'm in it. Did you guys ever watch the Katy Perry documentary? Mm-mm. Kind of a similar thing happens there where she's going through a really terrible breakup. It's almost like almost shot for shot. She's going to be on a lift and going up to a thing. And she's literally coming out of her dressing room. She's in full makeup. Tears are still like on her face. And she does this. And then she just has this moment where she just goes like that. And it's like this change for this persona because she's about to go do it.
You just clocked in.
Thousands of people have paid to see this now. And she's got to put the face on. And all that stuff happens. I love the moments after the show, though. And I think that's the moment before they go to the venue when he's really thrown into it. Like you're in the thick of it now. They're clanking all these fucking liquor bottles together. Yep. And I think it's a good option to just that they get to see this crazy lifestyle now.
I totally agree with you. And but like after when they are in the club, it's like, all right, now you played your first Steel Dragon show. Okay. Mm. Now we have a little band initiation. So with that, yeah, you've joined the band. Okay. He's like, uh-oh. What do I got to do? Do I got to kill someone?
Uh-oh.
No. I got to do heroin. No, I got to suck you guys' dicks and swallow all your loads. Then at the same time, nothing.
Jesus
like that.
Christ. No, man. We just,
no, all you got to do is, do the shot of tequila out of this chick's rack.
Yep. And
which, by the way, is going to happen every night from here on out.
And by the way, this is now the normal thing.
Just a little band initiation for you.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh, and then, you're going to have sex with 87 people.
Yeah. And, well, so, that's your own initiation.
Yeah,
well,
you can do whatever you want.
The life is going to get you at that point.
We'll be over here. We're not doing that.
That's fine.
Watch out for Tammy or whatever.
Tanya.
I like to think that he gets out and they get on the bus saying, how was your guys tonight? It's like, we went to bed at 9 o'clock.
Dude. Yeah.
We left the minute you took that tequila shot.
Yeah, you're rolling with the big dogs now. And it's like, he takes the shot. He's like, all right, that's super fun. What's next? Guy's like, no, we got to get to bed.
Yeah,
dude.
No, this is...
We got tour starting tomorrow.
Tour starts tomorrow.
Dude, we have nine hours
of driving tomorrow, so...
Yeah, it's an early night for us, actually. And like, everyone's like... Well, I thought we were partying. It's like, oh, no. No, not at all. 11:30, like we said. The only one who's... who this is going to make uncomfortable is your girlfriend that you've been with for, well, we have to assume like 10 years almost.
They were like high school, something.
So that's the only person that's going to be. And then it makes me feel it's like, again, whose side is Matt's on? Because is Matt's making a pass at Emily or is it just, is he really trying to say, well, hey, you can have fun too. You might as well kind of get used to it. Gravity doesn't exist anymore.
He's the manager. The manager needs to make sure that she's happy and he's happy so that the band is happy.
Right.
Do whatever you want. Have fun.
Yeah.
I'm your man.
You can have fun too. It's allowed.
It does seem like this whole thing seems a little rushed too, or just seems like plopped into our laps. Like right after the show, then there's like they take ecstasy or whatever the fuck it is, and they're like, yeah, we're just going to fuck other people now.
That's an Advil because you're going to need that.
Yeah, it is.
He thinks it's some, like, hard
have
drug.
Two of these.
It's like you're going to... Little. Yellow. Different.
Dude, Tanya drugged
me. Definitely a different experience.
She gave you Tylenol, bro.
Dude, that was a leap. Like, it's okay. No, I'm sure. I felt super weird afterwards. No, you remember you had those tequila shots?
Yeah, remember?
It's pretty normal, dude. It's very fun to think about that. Actually, this whole lifestyle, he's the one who made it like outlandish and
dude,
everyone else was just like,
I don't think that's crazy at all. I think you're almost dead on.
But,
that's pretty fun.
No, but they get into like, they're showing the drummer, Jason Bottoms, basically getting a blood transfusion backstage because of how wild his life has been. And like, I think that it's implied that they're all doing that, but we're just seeing it through Izzy's eyes, right? Like,
I think so too. I think so too. This is a wild ride that he is about to go on to.
Well, and that speech that Jason Bonham gives, like I actually really like what he says. He says, you got these birds dreaming of having it off with you.
Yep.
That makes the guys want to be you. The guys are the ones that buy records. So if the chicks don't want you, the guys are gone.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, put it this way. Your job is to live the fantasy other people only dream about. Don't go in half-assed, dream big, live the life. Like, I love that. He's saying that while he's basically dying.
Yeah.
And needing a blood transfusion. And he's like, it's too late now.
He's looking like the guys that just captured E.T. again. And he's all white and fucked up. Yeah.
Yeah. That's the thing that they're showing you. Live the fantasy. Like, it's not really you. Just pretend like it's you.
Yeah.
And that's, again, it kind of goes back to the Bobby Beers thing and the persona and their attribute as it is, you know. Yes, they are Steel Dragon, but even the members I think it's the perfect way that it could be said. Your job is to have a fantasy life. And if you don't do that, then this all goes away. This isn't, then what is this for?
It's the same today for social media influencers,
right?
Mm-hmm. Pretend like this is your life,
so that
other people dream about it.
Oh yeah! Every time I get up in the morning, I do my yoga routine.
Yep. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
I make my tea and my cat's fucking hanging out with me, and then I
have time for a 30-minute meditation, and after that, a 30-minute journaling session. Then after that, 30 minutes of drinking coffee and water.
I read my book next to my plants, my wall of plants that I have. That's not inconvenient whatsoever in my house.
You know? Same thing. It's continued on from hair metal days to today.
Yeah, it's same thing.
Yep. We do get a lot of live footage at this point, too. And my one question to you is, why is Zach Wilde so fucking awesome?
What is it about? Let's talk about it, brother.
You don't. Yeah. You're not cool if you don't hang on to a beer like this the whole time.
That moment when they get off stage and they're walking back to the room. And Matt's is like doing the whole like, give us 2 minutes, close it up, like all this stuff. You see Zach Wilde with two beers just go, oh. Like they're freaking like Viking horns that he's about to blow. Man,
he just looks
y'all
so
killed it out there, man.
Shot it right between the eyes, brother.
That was a fake beer. That's
fake. Mm. You know, just like this whole life.
He just looks like such a badass on stage. There's something about the way he's straddled.
His chain,
it's the
fucking tattoos,
dude. Yeah. Him on stage, though, he is a monster on stage. When he goes up to, he looks like the Muppet monster or something.
Yes.
When he goes up to Chris Cole, when he's
after
like,
he fell. That straddle way that he holds the guitar. He just looks like such a badass. And that's, I love all this live footage. I love these montages, like getting us all the way into the Seattle thing of like just. Here's a montage. He's in the band. They're killing it.
Rock till you drop. Rock, never stop.
Yeah, this is metal.
Yeah.
Singing about rock.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then your whole life has changed, so you get Talking Heads in there. You know, you got to
You may
it.
Find yourself waking up in a beautiful house with a beautiful wife, and you ask yourself,
Oh, rock till you drop,
and the days go by.
rock, never stop.
It's that's a great montage.
It is fun.
This is a great fun montage of them just going through him being on every magazine cover, every music, everything that and it takes about I think it kind of skips does that time lapse about like 8 or 9 months. Right. And it only took that long for him to be almost bored with his life.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, this is the norm.
Not even know what town he's in.
I don't know what town I'm in. I don't know.
Check my schedule. I don't know.
I get a copy of it every day.
Yeah.
You know, and there is a point where people living that life every single day, it becomes their norm. And there's always a grass is greener scenario, even for those guys who are, I got to do this MTV thing, and then I got to talk to the producer about this thing that they want to do. And
Did you realize what you just said?
Yeah, it's like, and you're saying it with such boredom in your voice. Like this, I got to do this MTV thing. Make good with them.
Well, then M is like, I'm going to leave because Marcy and I are going to, we got our grant for our business. And he's like, what business? And I'm like, what business?
Yeah. We never knew anything. I thought she was a manager.
Yeah.
Who's Marcy? Well, you're asking the questions we're all asking, Mark.
Yeah. There's another thing where I'm just like, she's great in this, but we do not get enough of her.
It's Marcy from across
the
road.
She is just the liaison of the... you know, the normal life that Chris should probably come back on a little bit. She's just that.
This is the last piece of his regular life that he's holding on to, and now it's gone.
Yeah. Like, oh, that's, she's literally an object at that point.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
She is. I mean, and we get that insight into the wives' lives. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They fall in the car, the hen house, as he calls it. Back to the hen house.
Pretty
gross. Pretty fucked up.
Yep.
And, like, they're just in that car, and all of them, except for the one who must be the newest, except for Emily.
Yeah.
She's like, she's still stoked. But the other three sitting on the other bench, they're all just completely dejected and burnt out.
Some of them are actual groupies in
is that
real
right?
life. Yeah. Like one of them wrote a book on it, I think.
Wow.
I'm not sure about that.
They had like famous husbands, like rock star husbands, a couple playmates, I believe.
Okay.
Too. Yeah.
Yeah. I met Goat on that bus. It's like, okay, wait a second here. Like, and then like the vodka bottle, it's like, oh no, I just had breakfast. So they give Jennifer Aniston some of the best lines.
They do.
They really do.
They do.
Yeah, she's pretty witty. I
love that.
But yeah, like we'll go a lot of places, like Pork Tornadoes will show up in Okoboji and people will be like, where are your wives at? It's like, oh, they don't come anymore.
No.
Like they don't want anything. It used to be so exciting that we would all go places together, like for a show, and we'll all party. And like now, that shit gets old really fast.
Oh yeah,
the day to day mundanity of traveling and playing in a band is the worst.
You always got to evolve, and then it's like we talked about it last week on elections too. Like you got to find the next thing. You grow up. You grow out of certain things. You know,
if you're not the one in the band, you're not the one. A part of the crew facilitating things. If you are strictly along for the ride, if it was vice versa, like us just, if it was you going to a work function of your wives,
yeah,
right. It's going to get old after a while.
Yeah, right.
It's
away.
The same idea. Like, and I think that's the disconnect that people have about it is like, oh, it'd be awesome to just be backstage and just fly on the wall and just hang out with them and stuff like that. It's like if you did that night after night, you would be like, why am I still here?
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same thing of going to like a work function. I don't want to go to a work function and just hang out and be at this thing and try to be funny or, you know, witty with your work friends or your boss. It's the same damn thing, man. It's the exact same thing.
Totally.
You do get into this Seattle, though, that where she does come back. And I thought it was a pretty cool creative choice that when she finally gets into the room and sees Izzy and they have that conversation where he doesn't seem to know where he is. Oh, Seattle. They make a creative choice to stay on her face.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He's here and we're only looking at her listening to Chris, like, try to explain himself.
Yeah.
Normally it would go back and forth, like show her reacting to what he's saying, but it just stays on her. And she's just such a good actress that you can read everything you need to read on her face there in that moment.
Oh, she's 100% a better actress than Mark Wahlberg is. So yeah.
So they're like, let's just,
absolutely.
Let's just stay on Jennifer.
Yeah. Good call.
I think that there's also things happening in the background of Jennifer Aniston's shot.
Yeah.
That obviously the other girl, right. But there's other things. It's more important to show her in this place that neither of them really probably belong.
Yeah.
Right. But he's infatuated with the life and he's fully into it now, where she is still fish out of water in this point. And again, it's those little lines of like her, that other girl coming. It's like, I got to do him first. Cause I got to shit. I got to get to work. If I get to be with Izzy tonight, I'm going to shit bricks. Well, that'll certainly leave an impression. Won't it? It's like,
what does P stand for? What does P stand for, Matt? Personal friend.
Personal friend. Oh, okay. Yeah. No, absolutely. It's like, oh, yeah. Nothing says respect like cramming a strip of lycra up your ass, right? It's like, you said it, sister. It's so funny, man. Like, and it's kind of heartbreaking at this point, too, because he doesn't actually care, right?
I'll come back to Seattle with you. We're in Seattle.
Yeah, like we're in Seattle. Like he's gone. He's gone at this point, right?
It's over.
And she
realizes
got her
that
life.
And she's like, fuck, I had this present and not anymore.
Yeah.
I wanted to know what was in there, but we never
prop.
Got
it.
Ooh, here's a prop.
Are you gonna open it?
Yeah.
You're gonna open it and find out what it is?
Oh, I'm gonna open it.
What do you think? I think it's a big portrait.
Yeah.
I think it looks like a giant like poster.
The lyrics to the song that he wrote her.
Bread.
Oh.
Yeah.
Stop it.
That's your prop?
No, no.
Oh, you think it's on there?
No, yeah.
I think it's his first like magazine cover or something like that, maybe. Okay. Or that's something like that, like his first whatever like a big first was for him.
Okay.
You know? Yeah.
What about you, man? Prop on this one?
Ooh, I think I'm going to take his I have to be remiss because it's a music movie. And I would be remiss to not take a musical instrument from it. But I'm going to take his acoustic guitar from the ending and then smash it right in the fuck front of him.
And then go and walk away.
Later.
Later,
like,
dude.
You're talking like Animal House style against
exactly.
the wall?
Sorry.
That's exactly what I thought of.
You just hand it back to him.
All right. Well, mine's not that cool. I want the scarf that he goes back for. He's like, see this? It's my scarf.
Nice. Yeah. That's good.
I want that scarf.
My scarf.
I bet it smells amazing.
I might kind of put it around my thing here.
And like, I mean that. Yeah. I bet it smells amazing.
Oh, it does. It has to.
Yeah, of course it does. It smells better than his wig.
100%.
We do got to consult the Jarrett Layoff Confused Breakfast Actor Database. Do you have any idea who the leading actor, actress is of any movie we've done that has appeared in this movie?
You said it ain't Spall. It's our first for Spall.
I don't think you're going to get this one because I didn't know that she was in this movie until Jarrett pointed it out.
It's not his mom, is it?
Nope. Julie Michaels is in this movie. She's a groupie. If you remember Julie Michaels, she was the naked dancer in Roadhouse, the blonde in Roadhouse. Wow. Who was also in Point Break. She was the one that gets shot in Anthony Kiedis' house in Point Break.
Wow.
Yep. So she Holy is cow. That. This is her third time she's been in a movie we've done.
Good job, Gary.
Oh, man.
Other than that, that's it. This is a pretty
pretty bare bones.
Is
this
movie
our
for
first
us.
Jennifer Aniston?
Second.
Too?
We just did. We just did one. Jennifer Aniston a couple weeks ago.
Oh my God.
Oh no.
Why can't we think of this?
It's because I can't pull up my thing.
We don't even know what city we're in, man.
Nah, like, man.
Dude, we're living the life.
Office Space.
We can't remember the movies. We
covered
just did.
The window up. We can't we don't know what time
we don't know
it
what
is.
Date
what
is.
Time is it?
What
All right.
Yeah, well, let's move on to scene four. So 6 months later, Izzy reports to the next series of Steel Dragon recording sessions with song ideas. They're rejected by the band, and he realizes he was only recruited to sing and would have no input on the band. On the next tour, he invites a fan on stage to take his place and leaves Steel Dragon.
I shot every damn thing, man. Shot everything you could see, you know?
It's awesome, man.
You should bring your girlfriend out there. And then, like, dude, what he says after that? John Bonham says after that.
What does he say?
Jason Bonham.
Yeah, I would, but she's busy with some yearbook committee or something.
She says, she's so busy right now, I guess, with some yearbook committee bullshit.
Oh, my God.
You're just like,
not good, man. Not good,
man.
It's a big old yikes.
But this is wild.
I killed everything I saw, man.
Sean, you pointed this out earlier that he's in a band with his friends. And he wants nothing to do with writing music. All he wants to do is play Steel Dragon tunes. And now that he's in Steel Dragon playing Steel Dragon tunes, he's like, oh, I'd like to write original music.
Yeah.
This is just fucking stupid.
Yeah.
That this is the thing that ends it for him.
Right.
Something he wants nothing to do with. That now he's like, but now I do this. Well, and I drew the artwork.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck?
It's why it makes him kind of to be an asshole because like, you didn't realize that you were so far behind everyone else at this point. And now you're blaming everybody
that's
else.
That's a great way to put it, though, man.
You had blamed everybody else for not doing what you thought was right at the time. But like what was right at the time was where you ended up years later, you know?
Like, yeah. You it's like you trapped yourself living, wanting to be Bobby Beers. And that was it. And then you didn't. Something had to happen so you could move on from that.
Mm-hmm.
So Bob becoming basically Bobby Beers in the actual Steel Dragon was what was enough of a catalyst or enough of a feeling of success for you to feel like you could write your own shit. Well, a hole and a half, and I'm proud of shit to have written it. You know, I think Hole and a Half is a pretty great song. Proud shit to have written it. That's another great fucking line.
It seemed really genuine, too.
It did.
So, but for some reason, I never really even thought about it like that, too. That now he's coming in and he wants to write it. But it's a constant play on he got everything he wanted and now he's bored with it.
Mm-hmm.
That's grass is always greener.
And it's just grass is always greener. The first time he's rolling into Kirk's place to that studio, he's like, oh, we're nobody. We're not famous. Like, yeah, we're so excited to be here and stuff. We're just trying to get in ourselves, guys. And then this time he's rolling in Batman's car. And he's like, all right, guys, I got to go. You got to let me go.
I'm so cool.
Yep. That's it. Like, I'm so burnt out from just being so fucking jaded. Cool.
Yeah.
And you're jaded. Yeah, man.
And he's just an idiot. He doesn't even know how this shit works, like, 3 years later.
And I think that's almost, like, the saddest part of it is, like, after all this is, like, said and done.
They kind of feel, they're like, oh, man, like, you thought you were going to write songs?
Bro. Dude. Like, they were literally caught off guard by this. Yes, when he walked in and had these ideas written and, guys, well, I'm not done with it yet. I mean,
I've never had anyone show up with artwork to an album before we've even written it.
That's fair.
What is he doing?
That's fair.
I just thought, like, maybe we could write the album based off my artwork.
Yeah.
I thought we were going to, like, sit around in the living room and, like, with acoustic guitars and, like, write some riffs. And I was going to hang out with Goad and, like... What?
I barely talked to him.
You shared about 6 words with that. I thought we were going to go up to Goad's ranch and kill shit and then write music about it. And I thought that's how you guys wrote all your music. And then he even has the fucking audacity to say, well, I know that you and AC write most of the music. All the music. Yeah, I know this stuff. It's like, well, why are you fucking bringing this shit in then? You know, dude. Like... This isn't fucking underneath the porn fucking theater. You know what I mean? Like, it's not.
This is a big time operation.
Yeah.
But there's this moment too, like, I love this so much when he has the conversation with Matts.
It was a cool scene.
Dude, and he really puts some insight into this that I think is important. Like, Matts basically describes rock and roll in this conversation. He basically says that when you're young, you want to stay wild forever and you want to do crazy shit and you want to stay up all night and you want to drink and do drugs and play rock and roll because you're going to be young forever. Yeah, but I mean, then
what's wrong with that, Mike?
No, I'm just saying avoiding adult responsibilities is what rock and roll is all about. But then you can't stop the passing of time. Like, everybody gets older and you get too old all of a sudden, where all of a sudden you've crossed over this hump to be like, oh, fuck, I can't be doing what I used to be doing, but it's too late now because I have to keep doing this and I fucked up. Mm. And like he perfectly describes that. He's like, we're not happy. I'm not happy that this is my life and I don't have a family and kids.
Yeah.
But, like, what else am I going to do?
And he did have a wife, right?
Yes, exactly.
He explains.
Taking a piss.
Yeah.
Gotta go take a piss.
Yeah, it wasn't like his girlfriend. He was married.
Yeah. And now he regrets that.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to tell you that he regrets it. But right now he's like, yeah, this is it for me. Like, I can't do anything else.
That's why I think his performance is maybe one of the best ones, like,
it is the best one.
I think it is the best one. I think it's
Jennifer after that. Maybe
but she's just, yeah.
It's
just
she doesn't have much to do. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, but at the same time, like, I think it is. I think because he is the one. He's like the oracle or the person that's feeding us what we need as an audience, really, you know, to understand really what's going on. He had a wife. He walked away, and then from there, she ended up marrying my best friend. She came to a show, married my best friend. They have 3 gorgeous kids, and it's like he is lamenting. Yep. Like, he is literally like, yeah.
10 years ago, it was fine.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, cool, whatever.
Yeah, it's whatever, you know.
Now he's going, ugh.
And he says it in that moment. Like, my whole life was just all written out for me. Like, I was going to finish schooling. I was going to get a job. We were going to move into a house. We were going to do this thing. And I left. And he just walked out.
It's scary when you're
cold hearted shit.
It's scary when you're young. And when you're older, you're like, oh, I want this to all be spelled out. I'm fine with this.
Yeah. Like, that's the thing that's the thing that you tell your kids to not walk away from. Right. And then, I think the other conversation too, I think that's actually another great insight into the rock and roll world. And that's the one that when Kirk pulls Chris aside just before that, they go in there, they're at the bar, he's like, look, Steel Dragon, our fans know who Steel Dragon is. We need to uphold what they understand. And to do so, we continue to forge on with us writing the music. You sing the songs with your voice. This is what Steel Dragon is. It's a juggernaut train that doesn't stop because you felt like you had an art project in our fucking off time. It doesn't just change because you had a thought. And as much, and it's a shitty way to say it, and as much as I admire it, in some small way. It's like, fuck, that's cool.
He's so good. Like,
but at the same time, you're kind of like, yeah, he's right. Yeah, I mean,
he's totally right.
If you want to continue being like, what is this, like millionaire musicians, then you just let the juggernaut continue jugging their knot.
Well, and then again, we said it earlier on where it's too, they're fulfilling this idea of what they are. To other people.
Exactly.
You know, that's they're doing. Like, they are making music. It's, you know, the lyrics are all the same. Yeah. The riffs and everything, it's all laid out. There's not a lot of formula to the music, but it somehow is successful for them. But, like, the attitude and the road and, like, the stories that are built upon all of the music is what people are buying into. And so they have to fulfill the idea of what they, the fans, like about them.
Yeah, you're right. All of this, by the way, all those songs could have just been written by an AI engine.
They really could have.
Hey, will you write the pour some whiskey, pour some wine?
Yep.
I stole my best friend's girl for a night. It's just like, hey, will you just AI? Will you just make some more music? Write some more lyrics about sex, drugs, and rock and roll. That's literally it.
Write a song about rock and roll never stopping. Yeah. Rock till you drop.
Yeah. Oh wow, that's
rock,
good.
Rock never stop.
Man, they really got it. And that's it. I think there's actually a decent amount of insight into like the whole not even music world. I think just the celebrity world as it is.
When you said it, that train just keeps going, as evidenced by when Bobby Beers left the band, the train kept going. And now we've got Miles Kennedy in the crowd that's going to get up on stage and the train's going to literally keep going.
Yep.
And there's no big deal.
What's your name, man? My name's Mike, but people call me Thor. Why?
Why?
That would be my first fucking question. Why?
God of Thunder!
And like, can you just
calm the fuck down for a second? This is a big moment in my life. Okay.
VH1's gonna have to report on this later. Okay.
Just imagine Sean at your next show, that like you're halfway through the show and like you look out at the crowd and then you turn around and the drummer has completely been replaced. With a new drummer.
Let's say
Camden leaves and all of a sudden it's just, let's say it's fucking a guy named Travis. And he all of a sudden's like, yeah, bro, I know all your songs. And he just sings like, that's weird. You don't just continue on with the show. That doesn't, the audience isn't going to be like, dude, if you went to see your favorite band, all of a sudden a kid from the crowd, like, keep in mind, this movie potentially ruined concerts for me. All the big artists now pull a fan from the crowd. I don't want to see a fan from the fucking crowd sing a fucking song. Don't do it.
I paid to watch you perform this shit.
Yes. Do not do that. And now all of a sudden, the whole rest of the show is this guy that people are like, who the fuck is this?
And that's like, let's be real here, okay? Because if you really think about this, like... It was so amazing. He pulled me up for this song.
Wow.
Stand up and shine. And they have that moment on stage, and then they do the guitar solo, and they go backstage, and like, hey man, what's your name? Thor got the name. And he's like, you want to blow the roof off this place? And he's like, are you serious?
Yeah.
It's like, of course I'm serious. It's like, heck yeah, I do. And he's like, all right, go out there, man. Go out there, go get it. And then. What actually happens on stage is he runs out there and he's like, oh, shit. Fuck a world for the night.
Well, dude, they kind of imply that he's not in the band at the end of the movie.
Yeah. Like, well, he knows the songs. Like, he can sing the songs, but he's probably just like, stand up and shout. Like, no stage presence. And then when the song's over, he's like, so. I'm not sure the set list.
I'm cool.
Yeah.
Not.
So here's the next song.
They kicked him out after that.
They
show.
Were like, they were like, look, kid, I guess you did it, but you're not the sound we're looking for because you sound completely different from what we were after. And then the report after that is, in a surprising turn of events, Chris, Izzy, Cole left on stage for their Steel Dragon show and left a fan in place who unfortunately had a nervous breakdown.
Hasn't been heard of since.
Been hospitalized after getting beaten up by the band and several fans.
No, what really happened is, do you know that shows like this with all that pyrotechnics, he wandered into a fucking pyrotechnic thing.
He wandered. Not, after
you have
wandered,
to know where those are.
Rock till you...
After wandering into a dragon flare unknowingly, he's been hospitalized for the last 2 weeks.
The tour has been canceled.
And Steel Dragon is facing a massive lawsuit from his parents.
Back to you, Tom.
Back to you.
All right, let's finish this up. Final scene. So Chris makes his way to Seattle, starts a new band with his old friend and former bandmate Rob, allowing him to write his own music. While walking one evening, Emily sees a flyer for his band posted on a wall.
Sure does.
I lost it.
He was singing.
She sees a flyer posted on the wall, takes it down. In the final scene, Chris is singing with a band in the bar. Emily walks in. Chris leaves the stage, speaks to her. They reconcile, ending the film with a gross kiss.
He's got a real bad habit of just walking off stage.
He really does. And, you know, you realize we were doing something up here?
He's like, this isn't, like, dude, this is a small show. It's our first gig. Like, will you please just finish the song? Like,
it's just
that's
like
all I need.
It's like me bringing up a point like in a podcast like this and just being like, okay, and that's all I have to say.
Hold on, I gotta go make out with my girlfriend.
And I gotta go. All right. Well, anyways,
so I guess we'll talk until he comes back and he wants to finish what he started. I guess.
Yeah, then. I think. I guess I'll just play a little bit of a solo. I'll just try to riff on this.
Yeah. Anyway. Anyway. Oh, he's back now.
Oh, thank God. Like that's
drop,
how Timothy
drop till you drop.
That's how Timothy Oliphant must have felt in that
exactly.
situation.
He doesn't care. He's like, we're finally doing originals. He's like, I'm happy.
He's like, it's okay. I'm part of a grunge band in the best era ever. So
this the part I don't like about this song is that this sounds nothing like him. Like from what we've assumed he sounded like to this. Do you know who the singer of this song is?
Isn't this actually the Verve Pipe?
It's an actual the Verve Pipe song. Yeah. And he was the bass player in Blood Pollution.
Right.
But it just doesn't fit anymore. And all these people are, I know it's a play on like the grunge era.
Do they make it seem like he started grunge? Is that what they're trying
to imply? I think
they're
trying to imply that he started grunge, that he was the proprietor of a new form. Look how intently everybody's like, this is awesome.
Yeah. Like
no one has ever sat in a coffee shop and been like, wow.
Can we talk about this for a second? Because he does say, it's like he's having these like kind of reconciling moments with Rob, right? Mm-hmm. And they're having some great back and forth. He's like, well, hey, I got Hole in the Half like waiting in the wings and stuff. And they're having a good moment. That's a funny joke. And,
but they dip that audio down.
Yeah.
And a little subtle fuck you to him still.
Yeah, nobody still wants to fucking hear about it, okay? No one wants to hear it. No one wants to hear about it, all right? but then it's like, You hear him and he's like, well, I'm thinking about putting together a band again and stuff. He's like, well, hey, man, like I've got a Hole in the Half. And then it goes to them on stage. And it's like, really? You were thinking about putting together a band and you decided to get a cello player? Mm-hmm. Bullshit you did.
Nope. Yeah.
Nobody fucking thinks that.
Nobody.
Nobody. You absolute jackass.
You got to cut your hair. Yeah. Okay.
Oh, okay. I'll trim it to here.
Oh, God. Timothy Oliphant's hair is...
Yeah. Oh,
it's pretty good.
It's like a bowl cut and a bob cut. It's like Matt.
He's doing Oasis.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks for that.
And then too, like the whole thing, how he basically, I mean, he made money being in Steel Dragon, right?
Yeah.
But yet he leaves everything he owns. He had to have had an apartment or a house for the last 2-3 years.
Yeah.
He leaves everything, his Batmobile, everything to no money, and he fucking hitchhikes. He hitchhikes to Seattle with no money. What the fuck happened?
All he had to do, even if he was like really caught up for like a tough time right? Like, all he had to do was go and be like, well, I'll just sell the Batmobile.
or maybe drive the Batmobile to Seattle.
Two gigs. Can you imagine?
Fucking awesome. Like,
oh, yeah, Chris Cole's going to be playing tonight. Who's that? And he pulls up in the Batmobile.
Oh, that weirdo?
Oh, yeah, that guy.
Oh, you mean the guy that left his dream to write music?
Oh, yeah.
See that one? That's an IOU for a Batmobile. You might want to hang on to that one.
Hold on to that one. You got yourself a Ferrari, Matt. Like, I just think that it's true. It's like, yeah, you know, I just wasn't feeling it anymore, you know? Like, the songs, it just wasn't me. And, you know, it just felt like it was time to move on. You know, with six figures in my bank account and, you know, seven figures in assets.
Yeah.
I mean, I just figured I'd go and find myself on the road with a complete comfort safety net. So yeah,
I'm such a tortured artist.
Well, we also need that. We need the image for the movie poster, too. So some point I need to hitchhike with a guitar. So
I'm going to have to carry this guitar around over my shoulder like I'm walking down a road.
Or like you're in the airport being like, I play guitar.
In a flannel.
Anybody see that I play guitar?
I just wanted people to know that I played guitar, but I don't even play guitar in my band.
I have a theory that anyone that walks through the airport with a guitar doesn't actually know how to play guitar.
Yeah. It's just filled with
I've traveled with good guitar players and they don't bring guitars
they
check them in really nice cases.
Choose not to because they don't want somebody to be like, dude, do you play guitar?
Oh my god.
Well, check it out. It's a soft case. I just bought it.
If you're not a teenager or
first of all, if it's in a soft case, they are psychotic.
Yes, they are.
And absolutely. That's
is most of the time how you see people in airports with the stupid backpack ones that go straight up and they don't know how to play guitar.
If my son ends up playing guitar, I'll let him walk through the airport like once
or twice.
I did
it one time as a teenager.
Let him do it once or twice so that way he can understand. It's like, you know what? I shouldn't do this. I'll let him figure it out, right?
But Dad, I want to play guitar on the beach.
Oh, man. He's like, well, I wanted to get picked up by like some trucker with my guitar and I'd sing him a song in the cab of his truck and that kind of thing.
2024. Oh. We don't do that anymore.
We don't do that. All right. This is the world of AI, ChatGPT, that writes songs about sex, drugs, and rock and roll. We don't need your acoustic guitar, Mark Wahlberg.
Thanks, Mark.
So, and Timothy Oliphant.
Yep.
Even though I really like you guys.
Anything else you boys want to talk about?
God, no.
Okay, we have finished this movie with a modern eye. We need to give it a modern day rating. I think we started with AJ on this one. What do you got, bro?
I actually still really fucking love watching this movie, guys. Like, all the things that we're bagging on, and I want this to be known, all the things that we're bagging on that in the music world, the industry, like all this other stuff going on, like that's not going to happen. They pulled a lot of fun like tidbits, especially like the tour things, TVs going out the windows, gluing stuff to the ceiling.
That I actually agree with. I think that's really funny.
Those are real things that happened from like the time of like Motley Crue, Guns N' Roses, all these rock bands, these, you know, metal bands, hair metal bands. Those are things that happened in the world. Like somebody's wife running off with Peter Gabriel makes a lot of sense. Like, all the things that we're bagging on is what I think honestly makes for such a fun watching experience. So do I think it's like the greatest music movie ever? No, I don't. I'm not going to say that. But I do think that this probably deserves more credit than it was certainly due, especially getting shut down, you know, literally getting buried upon its release date. Mm-hmm. And so I do think that it's a solid movie. I think it's a lot of fun. I think there's some really great performances in there. And I actually, every now and again, I will watch this movie and revisit it as something just fun to turn on and kind of think about the music world and that grass is greener mentality. So all that being said, man, I think I'm going to have to give this, I'm going to give this a
6.8. 6.8. Sean, what about ya?
Yeah. I think it's fun. I think it's really funny in some places. I think it's kind of underrated for being such an entertaining movie. Whatever you want to get out of it, you know, I think you could be entertained by, like when I was a kid, I was entertained by like what it was actually going for. And now I'm entertained by what I think is funny about it, you know?
Yeah.
Commenting on that sort of era of rock and roll, I think it does very subtly, and you kind of have to dig into a little bit to even get it, which I kind of appreciate about it. You said Mark Wahlberg's performance about like even it seems like he's singing. I think that's very impressive. I think Spall is very good. I think Aniston's incredible. But yeah, I mean, it's fine. I will watch it every once in a while. I'm glad it's out of jail. I will give this a 6.2.
6.2. I don't know, man. Maybe it just caught me at the wrong time. Like, there's a lot of things that I don't like about this movie, of cliches and trying to make the world think that this is kind of how things are in the, like, the music business. And I think it's weird coming back around on this, because the tribute band thing is like such a big thing in the world right now. It's just interesting how this was like 20 plus years ago. But I don't know, like, I don't think it's Mark Wahlberg's best. There's not enough Jennifer Aniston. I love Matt's in it. Mm. I love the saving grace for me is the music. Like, the music is fucking great. Like,
it is a great
I used to hate on heavy metal so much, or like hair metal type stuff, and now it's like, I kind of like that.
It's great. Anyway,
I was singing Stand Up and Shout all day yesterday.
Yeah, dude.
Just because it's like, it's just so awesome.
Some of those songs written for this movie are fantastic, and then their song placement outside of that is also phenomenal. So,
but ultimately, like, I don't know if I'll watch this movie again on purpose, like, anytime soon. So I have to take that into account. It's okay. I thought it should have gone to jail, but it's fine.
That's a good point.
4.9 for me is what I'm doing. Whoa. We got to check out Michael Giuliano, though. He says, considering that I didn't know this movie existed 3 days ago, I was surprised by how charming I found Rockstar. It's not groundbreaking in this plot. It relies pretty heavily on a lot of the same cliches and music tropes you've already seen, and there aren't too many standout performances other than Wahlberg. Oh. Still, damn. I'm a sucker when it comes to music, even if metal isn't my thing, and the soundtrack is pretty catchy. Timothy Oliphant makes a little more than a glorified cameo in one of his earliest movie roles. It's very true. But as usual, he nails every scene he's in. Mark Wahlberg and Jennifer Aniston have interesting chemistry. I'm not sure if I 100% believe it, but there's something there, and she may actually provide most of the comic relief in the movie, mm-hmm. as opposed to pure sex appeal, which is a nice change of pace. What I really found interesting about this movie after doing a bit of research is the amount of either fun coincidences or intentional choices it makes when it comes to casting. For a movie that's based on a true story about a regular guy replacing a lead singer of a hugely popular mainstream band, in this case Tim Owens, who joined Judas Priest, there are also two other replacement cast members in the movie. First, there's Steel Dragons drummer AC, who's played by Jason Bonham, son of legendary Led Zeppelin drummer John Bonham, who actually played with the surviving members of the band on several occasions in his dad's place. Mm-hmm. Then there's Miles Kennedy, who plays Thor, the enthusiastic fan who takes over for Chris at the end of the movie. Like Chris in the movie, he was apparently offered the chance to audition as lead vocalist of Velvet Revolver, and he also filled in to replace Axl Rose for Guns N' Roses' induction ceremony to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Maybe I'm giving this film a little too much credit, but I just found that those coincidences fit perfectly with the vibe of the movie. Okay, enough rambling. Overall, this was a decent movie, but I probably wouldn't go back to it anytime soon. Modern day rating 7.25.
All right, man.
So that takes us to 6.29, fellas. 6.29. We got to see where that's going to land on the thing. That's right here. 6.29?
6.29.
6.29 on the modern day ratings is, got to go down a little bit.
6.29.
That's going to be All Alone at the 120th spot, just below Basketball, just above Weekend at Bernie's.
Yes. Above Weekend at Bernie's.
Yes. Yes. It is better than Weekend at Bernie's per our rating.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
It is what it is.
I want to watch that more than I want to watch Weekend at Bernie's.
I'm opposite. I'm Weekend at Bernie's.
I think I'm Weekend at Bernie's.
Right? Well, it's too bad because our ratings are gospel.
These are gospel now.
That's true.
Well, I hope you enjoyed the episode. Thanks for being here. Tune in next week as we discuss Snatch. Followed by Biodome. That is out of jail now as well. We're going through all these movies and letting them have their chance. Biodome's going to be a fun one.
Can't wait for Boondock Saints too, guys.
It's coming Christmas Day, 2024.
2024. You know
we're coming in the studio on Christmas Day to record.
Actually, time out. Go back this time last year, listen to Super Mario Brothers. Who cares? Shitty movie. Anyway.
While Mike's looking that up so we can confirm that Boondock Saints 2 All Saints Day is going to be recorded on Christmas Day.
Christmas Day is a Wednesday.
That's our release day. No.
We are releasing.
It's going to be the release day.
Merry Christmas. Boondock
Merry
Saints
Christmas to all you guys. All Troy right. Duffy, you got your wish. Okay. We know you've watched all of our stuff on Boondock Saints. Yeah, thank you so much for listening, guys. We really hope that you are subscribed to the podcast that you're listening to at this point in time, if you've made it this far into the show. We really do appreciate you listening along. And check us out on social media. All the social media is Confused Breakfast, at Confused Breakfast. Just search Confused Breakfast and check it out on YouTube. We love seeing you on YouTube because you can see us on YouTube. Check it out.
ConfusedBreakfast.com, you can see the merch that we have. You can get some shirts, you can get some stickers, you can get some hats, some sweatshirts, whatever the hell you want with our logo on it. It's going to be there. It's going to be fun. ConfusedBreakfast.com as well to see the ratings of the movies that we've covered. You go back this time last year and listen to Super Mario Brothers. That didn't do too well.
No.
You can see that on our website, so go check those out. Thank you very much. I love you.
Support our sponsors for this episode. Also support us at patreon.com/confusedbreakfast. We are produced by Upload Media Group in Cedar Rapids. We got Craig on the controls.
Woo! Say hi to Chad Craig.
UploadMediaGroup.com, and we are on the Cloud 10 iHeart Podcast Network. Learn more at cloud10.fm.